This morning we're going to look at just two scripture verses for our consideration. They are in two different places, however. The first one is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we'll read verse 23. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then also the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Congregation of Christ, as you know, we've been looking at some of the major themes that are in Scripture related to Christian doctrine. I started this series a while back because I just felt that as I looked around the Christian world today, that it seemed like more and more people just didn't have any concept of Bible doctrine at all. And I thought it was important that we get into some of the more important topics related to Scripture. Now, a few weeks back, when we did our sixth lesson, we talked about the fact that God created mankind in His own image. Then, in the next lesson, number seven, we talked about the fact that God is a single being, but made up of three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Today, we're going to be talking about something that is related to both of those earlier lessons. We're going to talk about the interrelationship between them and the very fact of who we are as individuals having been created by God. We're going to talk about, first of all, the three parts that are mentioned in these passages dealing with mankind. And I want to say right at the outset that not everyone agrees with all of these things that I'm going to tell you this morning. Like Warren Wiersbe used to say, they have a right to be wrong. And we're only joking about that because you never know, we could be wrong too. But actually, I think that if you think about what we're going to consider here today and how we're going to present this material, you're going to find that the differences are not nearly as great as what people have often said. When I grew up as a boy in church years ago, we always heard that mankind was made up of two parts, the body and the soul, and that was who we were. And I still believe that mankind is made up of body and soul, but I think that there are times when the Bible also talks about the spirit as well. And I want to say right at the outset too, sometimes those two terms, soul and spirit, are used interchangeably. They're used as though they are the same word. And sometimes they are distinguished, as we see here in this portion of Scripture today. So in talking about what we look like as human beings, and that's a very big subject, but I want to just notice the fact that I think that the initial teaching that I had as a boy has a lot of truth to it. I think that we are, as human beings, material beings. That is, we have a physical body. That physical body is very important to us because God gave to us in our bodies five senses that are able to do all sorts of things. We can see, we can hear, we can taste, we can smell, we can touch. All of that is part of the use of the body that God has made possible for us. I also believe that there is, like I was taught earlier too, a non-material part of human beings, that we are also more than just bodies. Now, sometimes you hear people say, well, I don't know if I believe all that stuff about the soul and or the spirit or any of that stuff. I just know that we're bodies. I think that someday when we die, that's it. Our bodies are dead and gone, and they're cremated or they're put in a cemetery somewhere, and that's it. That's all that we are and all that we will ever be. When we're dead, we're dead. Well, I don't think the Bible teaches that at all. I think the Bible says that when we die, even though our bodies may, the present bodies at least that we have, which are subject to decay, as you all know, I believe that at death, that there is a dimension to human beings that lives beyond death. That even at death, our soul or our spirit passes directly into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, of course, if you know him personally. Not everybody who dies goes to heaven, contrary to what you may hear at funerals. I don't know when the last time has been that you've been to a funeral, that whoever was the person who died, it seems like everybody's going to heaven these days. I don't believe it. I want you to know that. I don't know that I have the ability to go around and say who has and who hasn't. Certainly that's not mine to judge. But I certainly don't believe that we ought to follow the teachings of the world around us that says that when people die, that everybody automatically, a spiritual part of mankind, goes and is in heaven, that everyone is there. I believe that some are, and of course, that's all dependent on what they do with the Lord Jesus Christ. But though the Bible talks about the immaterial part of mankind, it talks about it in so many different ways. You know, Jesus said we are to love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. And you say, well, man, how many parts are there? And so, you know, it gets to be pretty confusing when you try to piece this all together. From my understanding, we have a material body. We also have an immaterial spiritual side to us. And I think that the best explanation that I've heard of this is to simply say that we have a spirit, we have a soul. The soul has often been described as the mind, as the will, as the emotions. But I remind you again, sometimes that term soul is used interchangeably with the term spirit. So, again, we don't want to get too definitive here, but it seems like when I'm looking here at 1 Thessalonians 5 and when I'm looking at Hebrews this morning, the passage that we read too, there are times when the Bible says that that spiritual side of who we are, that there is a distinction somehow in the mind of God between that which is the spirit and that which is the soul. Well, I'm going to talk a little bit more about that today, and I believe that when the Bible teaches about our spirit, it tells us, in effect, that this is how you and I are able to relate to God himself. God is a spirit, and in order to relate to him on that level, there has to be that to be true about us as well. We also are a spirit. We are born of God, and we have been given a spirit. And that is something not only in terms of the Holy Spirit that comes to live in us, but also we have a human spirit that's just part of how we are made. When Paul wrote to the Romans in the 8th chapter of Romans, he talked about how the Holy Spirit can lead our spirit. And so Paul makes a distinction there between the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, and he distinguishes the Holy Spirit from our own spirit. And yet he says that it is the Holy Spirit of God that can lead our spirit to be able to have fellowship and communion with God. The Bible also teaches us, however, that we have a soul. We are a soul. And as I've looked at this, it seems that among people who are much wiser about these things and the knowledge of Scripture than I am, they seem to divide the concept of the soul into three parts: the mind, the will, and the emotions. All important parts of the spiritual being that we are too. How are you and I as Christians transformed in our lives spiritually? By the renewing of our minds. Isn't that right? The Bible says that. Be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Romans tells us that. We read too, of course, that the scripture also teaches that we have a will, we have a volitional element to our spiritual being. We are able to make choices, spiritual choices. Unfortunately, this has been affected by sin as well, and we don't always make the choices that we should be making. Some people think, well, you know, I'm free to choose whatever I want to. You know, I've got news for you. When you look at the Bible, you'll find out that people aren't as free as they sometimes think. People say, well, I certainly have the freedom to choose God. Well, that may be too, but you know what? The Bible also says that by nature, apart from the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, there isn't anybody who chooses God. There is none righteous, not even one. There is none that seeketh after God. Until God the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Word and by the power of the Spirit comes, and they work inside of us and bring to us that new birth experience that we call being born again. Until that happens, people are unable to make choices the way that they should. They don't seek after God. And that's a tragedy. You'd think that everybody would want to seek after him. Look at all that he's done for us. Like Linda was talking about this morning, how can we keep from singing in light of everything that he's done? And yet, so often, we find ourselves not seeking him at all, but we seek our own desires, our own selfish way of looking at life. But we have a mind, we have a will, we also have emotions. Those emotions, again, can be used in a proper way or they can be improper. Is it all right to be emotional at times? Why, of course. We know that Jesus, when he came to the tomb of his friend Lazarus, we read there in the scriptures that Jesus wept. When Jesus saw that what had come to this friend of his, Lazarus, and saw the people that were there, to Mary and Martha and so forth, he was moved. He was stirred emotionally. It's all right at times to have emotions of joy. It's all right to have times to have emotions of sorrow. But we need to realize, too, that sometimes our emotions can be totally misused. That spiritual side of who we are also can not be functioning in the way that we should. What does God really want from us? God wants us to serve him in our totality. The Thessalonians passage that we read this morning, I think, is driving at that point. Paul says here, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. In other words, may God make you a holy person totally. Now, you say, well, are we ever going to achieve that in this world? I don't believe that we are, but nonetheless, we can strive with the help of God to be the best that we can be, to be as close to him as possible, because that's what God wants. God wants us to live holy lives. God wants us to do that in our totality, spirit, soul, body, however you want to describe all that we are as human beings. God is interested in a total commitment to him. And I think that's what Paul is really driving at here. I don't think he's so much trying to teach us about the three parts of mankind or whatever. I think he's trying to simply teach us the fact that however you look at human beings and the way that God has constructed us, we are intended by God to be living for him totally, without reservation, total commitment, nothing being held back, no compromises. We're to be all that God wants us to be. Adrian Rogers, a man who died a few years ago, is still preaching yet on television on a regular basis, because a lot of his great sermons were taped. He was the pastor at the Bellevue Baptist Church down in Memphis, Tennessee, and at one time was president of the entire Southern Baptist Convention as well. He is a tremendous preacher, and I'm so glad that they got so many of his sermons on television today yet, because he's a marvelous teacher. He has a wonderful little book out that talks about the secrets of supernatural living. And in that particular book, he mentions the fact that when God designed us, he really designed us like the temple in the Old Testament times. Now, if you know your Bible history a little bit, you know that when God made the the temple, it was divided up into three parts. There's the outer court, and that's where the sacrifices and the offerings were carried out. They didn't have the altars in the Holy of Holies, the innermost part of the temple. No, they had the altars for sacrifice right out in the outer court, and this is the place where the sacrifice took place. Then, too, we had a court that was the holy place. This is a place where the priests served and where they ministered. And yet, as important as that was, there was one place that was even more special than that, and that was the place called the Holy of Holies. And in the Holy of Holies, once a year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, and there he would offer a sacrifice on the altar itself. He would put the blood there on the altar and would have a time of fellowship with God there in the Holy of Holies, the most holy place of all. Only a high priest could go in there on a certain time by special appointment. And it was such a holy place that when the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, that they would tie a rope on that individual so that if anything happened to him, if while he was in the Holy of Holies, let's say God struck him with judgment and killed him right there, nobody was allowed to go in there. And so they had the man attached to a rope and could literally pull him out without having to go into the place. Now, the same thing would be true if something happened to him physically. If he had a heart attack or something like that, and they wanted to bring him out of there, they could do it. But that's how holy the Holy of Holies was. It was a special place. Now, I think you can make a wonderful comparison to the fact that the temple, with its three parts, is very much like where we are as believers today as well. The outer court was the place of sacrifice. That was where the animals were offered up to God. And you know, what is it that the Bible says we are to render to the Lord as a spiritual sacrifice? Our bodies. The body is the place of spiritual sacrifice. The Bible says that our bodies are not our own. We are not free to just do with our bodies what we want. Our bodies belong to God. We are to use them to honor Him, to glorify Him. Of course, this is a struggle in the world that we live in today because so much of the world is directed against that very thing. And yet, the body is a place to offer sacrifice to the Lord by the way in which we live and conduct ourselves. Now, the same thing is true with, I believe, the soul of mankind. That, I think, corresponds to the holy place. As we said, the soul is a very spiritual place. It's the place of choice, our will. It's the place of our emotions that we feel toward God. It is the place, as we mentioned also, it is the mind. That's where we also are transformed, as I said, by the renewing of our minds, as we think God's thoughts, as we study His Word, as we are stirred in our minds to make good choices and to live for the glory of God. That resembles, I believe, what the place was where the priests were working, where they were carrying on their ministry. And this is something that it's the holy place, and yet in the believer's life, I believe that it corresponds to the soul. But then there is, of course, the Holy of Holies, the holiest place of all, the place where God dealt with a special priest, and then only once a year. Well, of course, that has all changed now because of the work of Christ, because Jesus died once for all for us. We can now enter into the Holy of Holies any time that we desire to do so. You say, well, how in the world can you do that? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. When the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, what did he do? He had to come with the offering of blood on the altar. That's the only way that he was allowed to approach God in all of his holiness. But through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ today, we can enter into the very presence of God. Sometimes people say, well, you know, when when I've sinned, I want God to forgive me. But you know, I feel so bad about it. I don't even want to go and talk to God. I don't even want to draw near to Him. It's like I'm afraid to draw near to Him. Yet the writer of Scripture says that we are to come with boldness into the presence of the Lord. You think the priest in the Old Testament times, when he went into the Holy of Holies, went in there with boldness? On the contrary, he went in there with a great deal of respect and fear. But today, you and I, because of the blood of Christ that has been shed for us, we can enter into the very presence of God Himself. In fact, as the Bible says, not only can we enter into His presence, but because we are believers, born again through Christ, we can be seated with Jesus Christ at the Father's right hand. Isn't that amazing to think that we can be in such fellowship, such unique fellowship with God, all because of what Jesus has done for us? And you know, I think that these three things, which make up all of human nature, I think they all are designed by God to work together. God's Holy Spirit speaks to our human spirit, and together the Holy Spirit and our spirit are able to do what? They are also to direct the activities of the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions. Our souls are the choices we make, the thoughts that we think, the emotions that we have. That's all designed to also do what? To direct the way that we use our bodies, what we see, what we do, how we act, what we touch. Everything. It's all part of God's total operation of bringing it all together. And you know, when you think about it, it makes perfect sense. What does the Bible say about us as Christians? The Bible says that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, doesn't it? We are God's temple. God doesn't live in temples nowadays made of earthly hands. He lives in our lives. He lives in our body. He lives in our soul. He lives in our spirit. He lives within us. Every part of who we are by God's design is working together for His honor and glory. Well, why is this so important? Because, as you well know, in the Garden of Eden, something very tragic happened. God made us in this wonderful fashion, and yet, because of human sin, every part of human beings, however you want to define it, they are affected by our sin. Do we always use our bodies the way that we should? No. Do we always think the thoughts that we should? No. Do we always feel joy and happiness and delight about the things that are really spiritual and honorable? No. Do we always choose the right things that we should? No. We don't even seek God, as we've already mentioned this morning. So what do we need? We need this nature-changing experience called the new birth. And it happens, I believe, when God works in our hearts through the Word of God preached, through the operation of the Holy Spirit. We are brought into saving union with Jesus Christ. The two become one. We are joined to Him by faith. Now what happens? Once you are joined to Him by faith, you become His child. You become the very temple of God. And all those aspects of our human nature are things that God begins to work on immediately. The Holy Spirit helps our spirit to be able to understand spiritual things. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, neither indeed can he know them. Why? They are spiritually discerned. You know, I could read my Bible all day long, but if the Holy Spirit didn't help my human spirit to understand what I was reading, I'd never catch it. I'd never get what God was trying to teach us. It's just that simple. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. It's that simple. But you know, when the Spirit of God is working in our lives, then the Spirit of God can communicate with our spirit, as Paul talks about in Romans 8, and we can begin to grasp spiritual things and to understand spiritual things. But you know what happens then? I believe our souls are affected too. The Bible says that when we become Christians, one of the things that happens is that God helps us to start thinking His thoughts and not our own thoughts. The Bible says today that if you are a Christian, you have been given the very mind of Christ. Isn't that amazing? God, by the Holy Spirit, using the Word of God, speaking to our spirits, our minds also are affected so that we are able to properly understand what God is trying to teach us as well. And the same thing is true with everything else. Why is it that people's lives can be changed? Why is it that after somebody becomes a Christian, they are able to make choices that prior to their coming to the Lord, they never were able to make? Well, it's because God's Holy Spirit's working in our spirit. Our spirit is working with our soul, with our mind, with our will, our emotions. Our will enables us to make choices that are right. Sometimes we don't, sometimes we do. But you know what? You'll find that you begin to live a whole lot better life and a whole lot different life after you become a child of God. Everything begins to change. You say, well, what about our body? That doesn't seem to get any better. That seems to get worse. The older we get, our bodies wear out. You know what? That's true, but I got news for you. God's even got a plan for that, too. He says, I'm going to give you a brand new one someday. I'm going to give you a brand new body that will never decay. It will never sin. It will never have any of the problems that are associated with your earthly body. God gave us our body. He gave us the ability to see. But you know what? You can see. As we get older, sometimes we can't see as well. Now, the other night, Adana and I were talking about the fact we both have had something wonderful happen in our lives. I'm going to say it, Adana. There's nothing you're going to do to stop me. So just, she's looking, she's wondering, what am I going to say? Well, we had something wonderful happen. We finally got to the point that we went to the eye doctor one day, and the eye doctor said, guess what? Your eyes are now starting to get better. That your eyes are not as weak as they used to be. And, you know, up until that time, I never heard of such a thing. But the doctor described it as like a pendulum on a great grandfather clock. You know, the pendulum goes so far this way, and then what happens? It starts to come back sometimes. On a grandfather clock, it always comes back if it's working properly. Well, apparently that can happen with your eyes, too. God even makes some of the physical things of our body get better. But still, we know that eventually our bodies are going to wear out. But don't worry. God's not going to leave you up in heaven someday without a body. You're not going to have to, you know, be floating around as an immaterial soul or spirit without having a body. You'll have a body. You'll have a wonderful body, a body that'll never wear out. And we won't have to worry about any of these things. We won't have to worry about going to the hospital or anything like that because it's all going to be taken care of, a brand new body. God is a savior of the total man. Now, I just want to close today by reminding you of how important that really is for the way that you try to live your life. If God gave you your body to be used for His glory, what do you think He wants you to do with it? Keep it healthy. Your body is to be kept healthy for what reason? To serve Him. What about our souls? Well, with our mind, with our will, with our emotions, we are to focus on spiritual things that will honor God. And as we do that, we will find that we will be able to serve God faithfully in all that we do. And the result is that the more we serve God, what happens? You'll find out that just like the priest, when they were serving in the temple long ago, we know that as they served and as they ministered, they were able to have joy in serving the Lord. Do you know that when you serve the Lord, there's joy in serving Jesus? So, because of the fact that we're people that have been given a mind, will, and emotions, a soul, if you will, how is that to function in our lives? What should we be? Well, our bodies, God wants us to use them to do everything we can to be healthy. But God wants us to focus on things that are right with our souls so that we are also able as Christians to live lives that are happy. When your mind is on the right things, you're going to have a happiness that the world knows nothing about. The world goes through great tragedy sometimes, and they have no joy, they have no happiness, they have no peace at all in their heart, and yet we know that the Christian can have these things. Talk to people who have watched believers die and watch those who have watched other people who are unbelievers die. Ask them what the difference is like. Do you see any difference between those who die without knowing the Lord and those who die knowing the Lord? Is there any difference? And I can tell you that there's a vast difference because of the fact that when you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to not only use our body right and be healthy, we want to use our soul also and acquire the very happiness of God in our life too. But you know, when a man is rightly related to the eternal God, when we are in touch with God who is a spirit, and he ministers by the Holy Spirit to our own spirit, you know what's going to happen? Just what Paul was talking about in Thessalonians. He said, may the God of peace sanctify you. May he make you holy. You know what? As Christians, God doesn't want us to just be concerned about our bodies or just about our souls or just about our spirits. He wants us to be concerned all three. And when you are involving your life in all of these, when you're seeking to live for God, totally committed, what happens is with your body, you're healthy. With your mind, soul, and emotions, you can be happy. And if your spirit is in touch with the Holy Spirit of God, living under his power and direction, you can be a holy man or woman too. God is concerned about all three. He wants you healthy. He wants you happy. He wants you holy. Now, I'm not trying to suggest that, you know, anybody who ever gets sick is somehow out of touch with God or whatever. I'm not trying to say that. But as long as we are in this world, we ought to do everything we can to use our bodies in a way that'll make us healthy. We ought to do everything we can to focus our minds on the things that are pleasing to God and that will also bring joy and happiness to us. We ought to be following the leading of the Holy Spirit so that more and more we find ourselves becoming sanctified. We become committed to God totally in all that we do. We are seeking to live for him, to honor him. We sing the old hymn, The Old Rugged Cross. And in that song, The Old Rugged Cross, it says that Jesus on the cross died to do what? To pardon. Oh yes, to pardon us. We want him to pay for our sins. But to pardon and to sanctify me. God wants you not just to be delivered from the penalty of sin. He wants you to be living free of the power of sin in your life too. And that's why all that we are must be committed to him. I don't believe we'll achieve that in this life, but I do believe that that is what God is asking us to do. I think that's what Paul was trying to emphasize when he wrote to the Thessalonians. I think that's what the writer of Hebrews is talking about too. That totally, spirit, soul, body, however you want to define all that is our human standing as individuals, we are to serve God in all that we are. May God help us to do that, because you know what? We have another week to serve him. And come this coming weekend, at the end of this week and the start of the next one, we really have a lot of ways to serve him. So let's do everything we can to be the man of God, the woman of God that God wants us to be. Spirit, soul, and body. Let's pray to God now. Our Father in heaven, we come to you and we thank you for this day. We thank you that we can worship you. And now we pray, Lord, that as we close out our service today, that you will be with us to guide us and direct us and to help us. Lord, may something that has been said this morning in this message somehow bring a resonating response in each one of our lives. Wherever it's needed, Lord, wherever the areas of weakness might be, we all have them. Lord, just deal with them and help us to be those who seek to honor you fully in all that we do and all that we are. We pray it now in Jesus' name. Amen.